Hello and welcome to another UHB Library podcast. I'm Jenny and today I am joined by Noomi.
Hello.
And today we're going to discuss the educational board games that we have available at UHB. So currently we have five games. So we have the communications game, teams that care, sepsis game, burns game and the hydration game. These games are particularly popular for team meetings and training. They're something a little bit different to a PowerPoint presentation. So that's a lot of the feedback that I've heard. That's one of the reasons they've been quite popular.
Yeah, I mean, everyone gets engaged and everyone gets to do something.
That's, yeah, and all the games are team games, they're for 4 to 12 players. Mm-hmm. So it does definitely not only teach whatever the topic is, but also does encourage good team skills, team working. Mm-hmm. So the games are from a company called Focus Games, and they're created with companies such as the NHS and Birmingham City University. So they are generally made by experts in the different fields. You can borrow them with your base card, so we offer them to loan for 2 weeks, but you can renew them up to 3 times. If you haven't got a base card, we'll give you a bit of details at the end about how to register for that. Yep. So for this session, me and Noomi are going to have a go at the communications game. There will be other podcasts on the other games. So how it works with these, so they're all quite similar. With the communications game, you have questions, scenarios and activities. So you go around the board and when you land on a space, you have to answer one of those.
I see there's a little bag here with little red plastic dots. What do we use them for?
So that's for when you get a question right.
Oh, okay. So you kind of put it on there so you don't...
Yeah, so whenever you get a question right, you get a token. So you can either play the game as... You can have a time limit. I think they tend to be about 45 minutes max is how long.
See, I thought you were supposed to place it where you were walking around the board. But okay, so you just kind of have a little pile of your own little...
That's it, yeah. So the other way you can win the game is if, say, whoever's leading on it can say, like, whoever wins 10 tokens first has won the game.
Okay, yeah.
There is also a little hourglass,
yeah,
which I think we'll use for today. We'll give it...
Yeah.
Adds a little bit of extra pressure.
Yeah.
So a bit of a time to try and answer the questions within that time limit. Mm-hmm. So, and then I'll just explain as well, there's a couple of people. So we've got a red and a yellow person.
Yeah.
So I'll go with red if anyone wants to be the yellow.
Sure.
Let's say we're going to do for about 10 rolls, each, just to give you a bit of a preview of this game. We won't be doing the activities game only because normally the educational board games require 4 to 12 players, but it's only the two of us, we won't be able to do the activities very well. But Noomi, if you want to read one out, just so
I can do,
we'll see what the activity ones
are. Yeah, so this is an example of if you go on the activities square on the board. It reads, read this out to your team. Imagine you are all doctors and I am your patient. Can you diagnose my symptoms and understand what illness I have got? Now do the following. Use your hands and gestures to show that you have a cold, runny nose, sore throat, cough, aches and pains. Don't use any words or sounds. Yeah.
So quite trying to put you in the mindset of... I say a lot of these activities put you in a mindset of like the patient or as a perhaps a job role that isn't yours, just trying to think of all the different ways that people communicate.
Because
it's not just about yourself, it's about the people you work with as well, isn't it?
And it's a bit of a challenge when it comes to...
Well, that's, yeah, I think a lot of them are like not using your words.
Yeah.
So having to draw all directions, so it's...
Yeah. It's not the easiest thing in the world. But it can be useful depending on which sort of job role you're in.
Well, that's it, yeah. And it's good to have a go at all different... definitely from different job perspectives.
Yeah.
So these games can be played by medical staff, support staff, students. So trying to prepare everyone for all the different ways of communicating.
We haven't really looked at the scenarios or questions yet, but we'll see what happens with those.
Noomi, if you want to roll first.
Sure.
So we've got
one.
So
okay,
the question.
So
your first question is: healthcare providers must provide a sign language interpreter if someone needs one. True or false?
I'd say true.
Correct. Get yourself a token.
Ooh, thank you.
So deaf people have a legal right to an interpreter to help them communicate.
Yeah.
It is the provider's responsibility to book and pay for an interpreter, not the service user.
Yeah.
I've got one as well.
Doing very well. Question for you. We're running around the board. Here we go. Okay, so approximately how many people in Scotland have communication support needs of some kind? A, 50,000. B, 250,000. C, I can repeat it if you want.
Ooh. I was inclined to go for the largest number.
Oh, okay. So C. Okay. Ooh, sorry. B is the correct answer. It is estimated that around 250,000 people in Scotland have communication support needs. This is stats from February 2016.
Oh, it's quite recent then as well. I guess it's 1-0 at the moment.
Yeah, woohoo! Oh, okay, 4? I'm yellow, right?
Yeah.
4?
Oh, so scenario. So I'll just mention, so with these questions, some of them, it will give you suggested answers.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways it's sort of up to the team whether they give you the point.
Yeah.
So you don't have to get things exact, it might be you come up with an answer that's not on the question.
Okay.
But if it's correct.
Yeah.
So this question is, or this scenario, Angus is a new resident in your care home. You have noticed that he uses a pen and paper to express himself. Should you use a pen and paper to explain things to Angus?
Possibly yes.
Oh, that's the answer is no.
Ow.
You should not assume that because Angus uses a pen and paper to express himself that he wants you to do the same. He may understand speech perfectly well.
See, I was thinking that, but then I was also thinking, but this might be the way he's comfortable communicating. But yeah. Really, I'd say try talking first. If that doesn't work, try the pen and paper.
Yeah. As I say, yeah. I mean, this. I think what's quite good about this game, even if you get the answer wrong, it's you've learned something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I'll remember that now.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that.
But still.
I would have made a mistake. Your turn.
2. Yeah, I'm reading a little bit more.
2.
Question.
Question. What does AAC stand for?
Oh,
intense.
It's by Amazon. I feel like something council.
Maybe. Want to take a punt?
Oh. Probably not American?
No.
Time's I'm not sure.
AAC stands for Augmentative and Alternative Communication. This term describes various methods that add on to speech in order to overcome communication barriers. They are used instead of or as well as speech and can include pictures, signing, and technology. Aha! So kind of aids to communication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yep, again, something new though.
Oh, yeah.
Something else new we've learned?
I've come across those in the past, I just didn't know that's what they were called.
Yours.
My turn. 3. 1, 2, 3. Oh, see, that's an activity.
To go with the scenario.
Scenario instead. Okay.
Yeah.
You read them right. Yeah.
So, this one is, the first activity of the summer playgroup is a team game. The group leader explains the rules, but Sophie refuses to join in. Why do you think she doesn't take part?
Did you say it was a team game?
Yes.
It could be that she's uncomfortable with the crowds or with the other people. I'd say that's the most likely scenario, but it could also be that she's got something against the person in the group, I don't know. It could be many, many things. Bad day?
I'll give you that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so basically the answer was she might not want to, or she might have a communication support need which hasn't been recognised. It can make it difficult for her to understand the rules, and then this could lead to her feeling frustrated and not wanting to join in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that can be the reason for that.
Oh, yeah, so that question's sort of open, so it could be that's a suggested answer, actually.
Yeah.
But I think you recognise that basically there could be a lot of reasons why she would want to.
Yeah.
That might put her off joining in.
Mm-hmm.
6.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got a
question for you.
I need to get one.
There we are. It's essential that people working in health and social care know how to use the equipment that people use to communicate. How could you and your organisation learn about the different equipment?
I think probably by having the proper training, regular training as well. Obviously, a lot of equipment has updates. I think particularly IT.
Oh.
I think having clear instructions made available, easy to access instructions, I would say. And just generally making sure everyone is aware of how the equipment works.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yay. We've probably been too nice to each other.
No, actually, you did say one of the ones exactly here. The first one says, go online and search for more information. Second one, invite people with communication support needs to meet you and your colleagues.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They can show you how they communicate and answer your questions to help you to improve your skills. I never would have thought of that one. Attend training to learn about different ways of communicating. And that's the one you go. How many rounds have we done?
Back to, so this is number 4.
Oh, you kept count. Good job. I lost count with the first one. 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Scenario.
So, this is another open one. Mm-hmm. So, Steve uses a system of pictures and symbols on his tablet to communicate. You are a podiatrist and Steve has an appointment with you. Describe 2 things you could do before the appointment to make sure he receives a quality service.
Yeah, so I would first of all indicate that I would like to show him on the tablet.
Yeah.
And see that that's okay. And then, I guess, find a picture of a foot. And then point to me. And, well, him, kind of thing, yeah. And if he understands a bit of speech as well, probably explain at the same time as I'm using the pictures. Yeah.
I'll give you that one. So you got one of them was familiarize yourself with the way he communicates. So something about looking at your head. Other suggestions were give a longer appointment slot, send information in advance, and make sure the...
I thought they meant just in the moment in the room, kind of.
Oh, okay.
All right, no, that's fine.
And then make sure the physical environment is suitable for him.
Right. Yeah.
So you got about being familiar with how he communicates. So
yeah. I want more specific.
So 5, 2, 3, 5.
Question.
I don't know the scenario yet.
No, I know, yeah. British Sign Language is recognised as a language in its own right and is used by deaf people. How many people in Scotland, why is it always Scotland? Okay. Use BSL at home, British Sign Language. A, 1,250, B, 12,500, or D, 125,000? Your time starts now.
I think I'm going to go for the largest number again.
Largest again?
Yeah.
B is the correct answer. It's always B, apparently. When in doubt, go with B. Around 12,500 people in Scotland use British Sign Language at home. Yeah. Ah, it might have been like specifically at home.
That might be, yeah. It might be a different figure for...
Because if you think about it, a lot more people, like, I don't know, carers and things, they will be using it at work when are communicating with their patients and things. But they wouldn't be using it at home because they are not in need of this support. So that might be the key question at home. So they are the ones using that kind of communication in their daily life.
So last round.
Mm-hmm.
I think you may as well. 3-1. I think we know.
Okay. 2-1. Another question.
Okay, so some people can't tell us immediately what their needs and preferences are because we can't communicate with them effectively. How can service providers make sure that all staff know about them?
Ooh. The particular patients or the people like that exist overall?
I think just how to, with all the different needs that people may have, just how to be prepared, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Training such as this.
Yes.
The communication game. Because I'm becoming aware of a lot of things that I never knew about. And of course, training sessions, as in lectures, handing out information, getting people who have these needs to meet your staff. Basically, very similar to the other question we had. Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't mention training, but I do think that is a is an essential skill to have. The suggested answer is find out what the person, what their needs and preferences are. Mm-hmm. So make sure you have the tools available to help them.
Yeah.
And then recall the information so it can be shared. So just make all the staff aware.
Yeah.
So for example, you might recall that someone uses gestures to communicate, likes to watch football and doesn't like Indian food.
Okay.
For my last round.
Yeah. Make it count.
Oops, I got a scenario.
Yay! Louise is a young woman with complex communication needs and no verbal language. She is moving from child to adult services. What needs to be in place to help this transition go smoothly?
So I would say that she would need... She may have it already, but I suppose transitioning to adult, making sure she has maybe a support worker, someone who can... So imagine it'd be quite scary to try and when you haven't got that communication.
Yeah.
And making those adult services aware as well, so make sure they're aware of what can help to accommodate her needs, I would say.
You got it spot on. Key information about how to support her communication needs should be documented and passed to the adult service. Very good. Staff training may be considered, and times of transition can be difficult, and Louise and her family may require extra time and support. So that's what you said about a support worker.
I think the training was a bit I missed out. I've said training for maybe every other one.
Apparently, training goes for every single question. It's like, oh, just go with training.
So at the end of that little preview, Numi won with 4 and I got 2.
Yeah, got lucky.
Maybe if we continued, it may have all ended very differently.
Maybe, very possible. Yeah, but it was very fun, actually.
So if you like what you heard, so you can come borrow the game from ourselves. You will need a base library card, so if you haven't got one already, you can apply for one at the counter. We're here Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Or you can apply online, so if you have a look for base-library.nhs.uk. So once you've applied online, we'll send you an email when your card's ready to collect, and you normally have a couple of weeks to do so. And it's completely free to register for. As I mentioned at the start, these are from Focus Games, and we're always on the lookout for recommendations. At the time of recording this, I believe we have the nutrition game in order, so we'll actually have 6 eventually. But please, if there are any that you like the look of and think they'll be really useful, please do let us know, because we're always looking for recommendations.
And also, if you'd like us to preview more of these games, if you want to have a little, taste of what they do, like for example the hydration game or anything like that, then please let us know that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can book it out to you if you want to just have a quick look at it. We can come down to your department and you can have a bit, like we've done today, have a little bit of a demo with it if you want.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine. Thank you very much for listening, and hope you enjoyed our preview of the communications game.